Please, and turn with us to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter of 2 Kings. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 6th chapter of 2 Kings, verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. And therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to once again thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Once again reminded this morning of those who are especially in need of physical help this morning, we pray, ask your will to be done. We thank you for protecting our people this morning with the light there, and Lord, that you did not allow anything bad to happen. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, now, and through the preaching of the Word of God, you promised, Father, your Word would not come back void, and we love your Word. We thank you for your Word. We ask you this morning, as a preacher, I ask you to empower me and give me wisdom. Use me this morning to preach your word that you may be able to take it to the hearts of all of us and do that which needs to be done in each of our lives. Now we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. This miracle here involves a very simple, everyday problem. They went down to Jordan. Evidently, there was trees down in that area by the abundance. And they was going to make a shelter, a place for them to live. This was the sons of the prophets. It was a place where they Elisha taught them. And it was like a school of the prophets. And they said there's just not enough room. Evidently, they had been experiencing some growth. Thank God for that. And might mention to you, we need some sons of the prophets. We need some young men stepping up and saying, I believe God wants me to preach the Word of God. I was 30 years old when God called me to preach. So if you're 30, it's okay if you answer. And it'd be all right if you was 40. My preacher, Brother Evans, that led me to the Lord, was 40 some odd when he answered the call to preach. So it'd be all right if you answered the call when you was 40 some odd. In fact, I've known men who's answered the call to preach in the 50s and 60s, so it'd be all right. If God calls you, you need to be preaching. We've got places all over this country that needs churches, needs the preaching of the Word of God. You need to be serving somewhere, serving the Lord, but listen for the call of God upon your life. If God reaches down and taps your shoulder and calls you, you listen to Him and you do what God wants you to do. But this here miracle was a very simple thing. They went down to Jordan and they began to take their axes and they was cutting down trees. And when it says to the beam, they would take the trees down. They would shape those trees into a beam. Each one of them was responsible to do that. And then they would build a shelter or a house or a building with it where they could live and also hold the schools. They said they was going to do it down near Jordan. Probably, more than likely, this was at Jericho where they were, more than likely right next to Jordan, and they went down to Jordan to do this. One of the things I just want you to remember is this. God is very interested in the very simple things in life. That may be a very simple thing to you, a loss of an axe head. The axe head came off the handle when the man was swinging it, and it went into the water. And went into some deep water, and God was interested in that. I just want you to know something. God's interested in all areas of your life. Every single little detail that you call little detail, God is interested in and cares about. Down through life, you could testify, and I could testify to the many times I've went to the Lord and asked Him just simply to help me find something or help me in a little chore that I needed done that I was seemingly unable to do myself. And He seemed to just come down with His strength and help me. And I just want you to know God loves you, and God will help you in the details of life. And in fact, that's why He told us over in the book of Philippians to by prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto God. You know, in everything, He said, by prayer and supplication. That means everything. It's okay for you to pray about a lost axe head. It's okay for you to pray. You see, no matter what the item in life that your circumstances, life that you are facing, whether it's big or small, it's okay because God has told us in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And so I want to encourage you with that. It's right and it's proper, folks. Be a people who loves the Lord. Be a people who trusts Him and believes in Him and depends on Him. He wants you to do that. And so here we find, as I said, it involves the sons of the prophets. Now, I'm not going to take time to really spend a lot of time, but if you go over in chapter number 4, verse 38, and Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, sit on the great pot and see the pottage for the sons of the prophets. Now, I won't go into all of that again and read all that, but sons of the prophets was there. Elisha was teaching them. He said they were standing before him, and he was teaching them, and somebody went out and got some herbs out of the field. They was going to make some soup, some pottage. They went out and got the herbs out of the field. Well, he got some of the wrong herbs, and he put it in the pot, and there was, he said, death in the pot. He ordered some meal to be brought and cast into the pot, and he made it all right. It was a miracle there that happened, and I'm not preaching on that, but I'm just indicating to you again that God cares about the small things of life. And I want you to notice also these sons of the prophet were very much what we would say today, living in poverty. They had to go out to the fields and gather herbs to be able to have something to eat. Amen. And put it in a pot, and that's how they was eating. I'll show you another instance here in this, and where these men were probably living. And when I say poverty, they was not living in poverty where we want to say they had nothing, but they was living with the least of things in their life. Now, we find here in verse 1 and 2, they set out to build. In verse 1 and 2, it says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Now that word straight speaks about too narrow or too small or too tight a place. In other words, there was not a room for them to live there and to be taught there. Evidently, there had been some growth. There had been some new sons of the prophets come, and they needed a bigger place. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. First of all, I just want to make mention of something. These men were wise enough, these sons of the prophet were wise enough, they saw the need. And I want to say to you that we need within our churches today some people who has some discernment, some spiritual discernment, is able to look and see the need of the church today. Now we are in the process of moving forward toward, we're trying to get going to get it okayed through the church to build some Sunday school rooms. If you have no idea of why we need Sunday school rooms, you have no discernment. All you need to do is look around a little bit and see where we've got classes stuck here and there, trying to get by till we can get some Sunday school rooms. Our church has grown. Our Sunday school needs has grown. We need room for Sunday school. And let me say to you, our school has taken up some of the room for the Sunday school rooms. The school, if you was here Friday night, you understand the blessing it is to this church. Now, I mean, everybody in here ought to be able to say amen. Some of you won't, but you ought to be able to say amen. Because it's a blessing to this church and it's a blessing to the young people. If you saw Friday night's program, you saw a wonderful thing of young people praising God and honoring the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And you're going to see down the road, you're going to see some of those God's going to reach in and use in their life to build His work for the rest of while we're here. And that's what is needed. He needs to reach down, and there, these people are being prepared, these young people are being prepared, where God can reach down and pull them up and say, I want you to go on for God and do something for God. And they're here. Let me guarantee you, they're here. They're here present. Now, who it is and how many and exactly which ones, I don't know all of that, but I know that they all can be used in one way or another. But let me say to you, God is in the process of building and molding young people right now. I told in our Sunday school class, I'm going to tell it again because a lot of folk don't like discipline, but in our Sunday school class, I told them there was a man who was a grandpa of some of the children here in this program, and I came up and thanked me three different times for the discipline that is here in this school. Now, there's some folk who curse that discipline and don't like it. But I want to tell you, the discipline is necessary. And it's needed. And there is some folk out there who's thankful for it and grateful for the discipline that we have here in this school. We're going to continue to have it. Amen. We're just going to continue to go down that route. Go on for God, no matter what anybody else say. We're just going to do it. And that's right and that's proper, you see. So what I'm saying to you is this. These men, these sons of the prophets, saw the need. They saw that there was a need for room. I'm asking you to get a burden about this and see the need and get excited about it and say, you know what, we need to do something for God around here. We need to get moving on down the line. It's been a good long while since we ever built on around here. We've just been going on in the way we are, but now we've come to the place where we need to move on. And we need to do something. We need to get some buildings built here so we can go on for God and have places for boys and girls to come and be taught the Word of God. Amen? And so I'm just simply saying, you see, it's important that we have the discernment concerning the needs of the church. And we need to look around and see that, you see. And I want to show you something else in verse number 2, that these men came, these prophets came. More than likely they had a spokesman that spoke for them. It doesn't say that, but it says the sons of the prophets came. I don't probably think they was all talking at one time. Probably they had a spokesman amongst them and said, here's what we think. We've been talking this matter over, and here's what we need to do. And he said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. First of all, they did not say, let us go out and hire it done. Sons of the prophets, let's go out and get J&J Construction to come in here and build us a building so that we can have a place where we can be taught and where we can live. No, they did not do it. They said, let us go do it. Amen. We as God's people need to say, let us go do it. Amen. We need some Sunday school rooms, folk, and we need to say, let us go do it. You notice there, he did not say, let the others do it, and I'll stand and watch. He said, I think my brethren, the other sons of the prophets, ought to build on this place. Maybe I could be the big engineer on this. No, he didn't. He said, let us go. Let us go. And he said, each one of us, make a beam. In other words, we went down to cut down the trees, and they formed the beam and have it all ready. Each one was responsible for doing that, and they was going to build a building. He did not say, I'm sorry, but my schedule's so filled up, I don't have time to be a part of this. Right. No. Work of God came first. Amen. Work of God came first. No, I know everybody's schedule's busy, but you know when it comes to work of God, we just got to schedule God's work into our life. Amen. See, they didn't say, I'm sorry, I don't have time, and maybe I don't have the ability. No, they all just said, okay, we'll go down there and do the best. I didn't see their beams, but I have a feeling probably some of them didn't look as good as the other ones. Some of those sons of the prophets probably wasn't the best at skinning a beam, but they done their best. And that's what we ask, and God's people do, just do your best. Amen. And be involved in it. So they said, let's go down, let's take every man a beam, let us make us a place there where we can dwell. And he answered, go ye. Now, folks, listen, the work of God has always been, when we was here, we was gone for 10 years from here, but every building here was built under the watch God gave me here at this place. Every single building was built. Every building was put up under the watch that God has given me. Now he's given me another watch, and he's saying to us, we need to build some more buildings. Now, all through building process, all through building programs, all of my life, I've been in the midst of them. I've seen them. I know what I'm talking about. A lot of times, those building programs are slowed up because of unwillingness of people to get in and just do their part. It's always that way. Ought not to be that way, but it has always seemed like that way. And you see, one of the main things is that you and I need to understand is we just need to do our part. Whatever that is, we just need to do our part. And the work of God will get done if we'll just do our part. There's no doubt about it. With all the talents that God has given unto this place, it's amazing if you look around you and you'll just take notice of the talents that God has placed here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It is absolutely amazing. And not just the men, the ladies too. Talents that are tremendous talents that God has put right here in this place. It'll amaze you. Now our responsibility is just use those talents for the glory of God. Amen. Just use them for the glory of God. So what they done is they went then in verse number 2 and they sought the counsel of Elisha. Said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. In other words, this is what we ought to do. And of course, I want to talk about, first of all, the pastor. The pastor is set here to lead the church, set here to give counsel to the church and say, look, this is what we need to do. We need to go forward, need to build some Sunday school rooms. That's what we're moving toward. And you ought to seek the counsel of the pastor in those things and say, that's what we need to do. But these men will tell you, I'm seeking their counsel in the building and helping to know what is best to build and all those things. We're working on that. And that's the right, proper thing to do. But let me say this, after saying that, one of the things we must never forget is we need God's wisdom. And we need God's counsel in everything that we do. This pastor needs it and you need it. You can't move forward and do anything without the wisdom that God wants to give his people. And we need him to do that for us. We must know the will of God and then do it. I thought about Sunday school rooms and I thought, you know, that's nothing to God. I mean, you know, honestly, folks, we sometimes look at this thing as some big project. That's nothing to God. Absolutely nothing. I mean, he could do that. He has a way he does it. He has a process which he goes through, and I'll give you some of those truths also. But folks, listen, that's not a problem with God. It's not a problem. Whatever the cost is for this Sunday school rooms, it's not a problem with him. We've got to understand it. We serve a great, powerful God. He can do anything. He has everything. He owns everything. He can do whatever is needed to be done. You believe that? Sure, I do too, you see. And then in verse number 3, what they done is they sought that Elisha would go with them. If you look at verse number 3, he says, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. I'm not going to take you back there, but if you go back to the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter of Exodus, take time sometime to read that chapter. 33rd chapter of Exodus, and it's about the Israelites getting ready to go up into the promised land, go up into the through the wilderness into the promised land. And Moses was concerned with one thing. He was concerned with the fact, would God's presence go with them? Because God said, he called them a stiff-necked people, and he said to them, he said, you're a stiff-necked people. And he was concerned that God would not go with them. So Moses made a statement finally to God. When God said, I will go with thee, he said, oh God, if you will not go with us, don't send us. And that's a wonderful principle. Because let me assure you one thing, wherever we go, we need God's presence. Whatever direction we take, whatever it is we've got facing us to do, we need the presence of God Almighty to do that. And we ought not to go unless his presence is there to go with us. So it's very important that we know the will of God and we know his presence is with us and was willing to do whatever needs to be done to get the job accomplished. Now in verse number 4 and 5, he went with them. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. You know, I'd like to notice something there because I think it's an important thing to notice. The trouble that came to this man did not come because he was doing wrong. It came because he was doing right. This is very important that you get a hold of this. You know, just because we do right does not mean there's not going to be trouble come our way. If you'll look in the Bible, in the Word of God, God has a lot to say about being a sluggard, being lazy. These men were not lazy. They grabbed up their axes. They went down to the place where the beams was, the trees was, and they fell. They was felling those trees, and they was going to cut a beam. They was doing exactly what they should have been doing, and yet trouble came right in the midst of it. I want you to understand troubles and problems will beset us when we are doing right. There's no doubt about that when you're doing right, you'll suffer opposition. There's no doubt about that. But this was not even opposition. This was just difficulty in the midst of trying to get the job done. And I say to you, in the midst of trying to get the job done, you're going to find difficulties. Difficult things are going to arise. The other night we had this program, a few days before that, there was kids falling out sick. I mean something just terrifically. They were just getting sick and all of that. And yet the day of the program, most of those was able to return. Some of them was feeling bad. I know there may have been, I'm not sure how many wasn't here, but I know that how many, one was not here, and she was a very sick lady. I mean very sick. One did not show up. Many of them came not feeling good, but you know what? That's a great blessing, because even when you're not feeling good, you just got to learn, you just got to stand up and do right, and they did it. Now, I'm not saying anything about that young lady who wasn't here, because, you know, she was a sick young lady. She couldn't be here. That's all right. But many of them was able to make it, and they didn't really feel their best, but they came. What I'm saying to you, you work in the midst of difficulty. That's when your faith is tried. Not when everything's going good and it's able to do it because everything's going fine. It's in the midst of difficulty where God tries our faith. Amen. So here we find a man who was doing good. He was on his job doing everything he ought to be doing, and an axe head came off of his axe. Right in the midst here of doing what he should be doing, problems come. Let me share with you what God does when problems come. God expands our faith. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm pretty old, but I'm not that old. I wasn't there with Elisha. Brother Ali was, but I wasn't. I wasn't there. But anyway, I do have a feeling of this. When they went back to work, I just have a feeling every single day, they said, can you imagine an axe head floating? I mean, do you see what God done? Now, I wasn't there, but I'm going to tell you right now, I know human nature enough to know that wasn't forgot the next day. And I think, according to the Word here, it was passed down in the Word of God. I think it went on for generations, telling about the time that they fell the trees and the axe head came off and went into the water, and God allowed it. There was Elisha, and he just threw a stick in there, and God brought it to the top, and excitement about what God done. See, God does those things to build our faith and to strengthen us in the middle of difficulty and troubles. God does wonderful things to build us. Now, I want to show you something, though, a principle that might help us. First of all, I want to show you that he cried to Elisha. He came to Elisha, and I say to you, whenever we have problems and difficulties, let's cry out to our wonderful Savior. We've got difficulty. We need help. Don't ever be afraid to cry out to God when there's difficulty. In fact, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to recognize the fact we need help, and we need your help. First of all, him crying out to Elisha about that revealed something that I was going to tell you earlier, revealed his poverty. He had to borrow an axe. He didn't have one of his own. He didn't even have an axe. He had nothing to cut with. He had to go borrow one. But you know what he did? He wanted to work, so he went and borrowed an axe. It also tells me something about this man's character. He did not say to Elisha, you know, if the guy that lent me this thing would have had that on there tight like it should have been, this would have never happened. Now, that's what you hear a lot of today. It's always somebody else's fault. I mean, you know, it's somebody else's fault. This would have never happened if everybody else had done right. This would have never happened. But you didn't hear this man do it. It reveals something to me about this man's character. I think he was very high when it come to character, was concerned. He was concerned that he had lost this man's axe head, and he was so concerned about it. He felt responsible for this individual's property. He said, I lost it. He felt responsible for it. He didn't say, sure glad that wasn't my axe. Now, he was sorry because he had borrowed that, and he was saying, Master, what am I going to do now? I borrowed that. I'm responsible for it. And you know what else that tells me? He didn't have money to replace it. You know, in all seriousness, I'm just saying, most of us in here today, if we had lose an axe head in a river and it would come off, we might be sorry for it, but we'd say, well, I'll just go buy him another. I'll just go get him another. You know why? Because we have the means to do that. This man didn't. He didn't have the means. He was a son of the prophet. He was in the school of the prophets, getting ready to serve God. And he didn't have money to go buy an axe head. And he was sorry about that. He didn't know what he was going to do. You know why? Because he knew he had to replace it. He knew he had to do something because it was that other fellow's axe head. Oh, we need to get back to some integrity in America today. We need to get back to some integrity in the ministry today. Amen? Yes, we do. Integrity. And that's what this man had, integrity. I don't know this man, but when I got done reading and studying this, I had great respect for this man. In verse number 6 and 7, it says, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it. We see here the recovery of that axe head, and I believe something, and I believe this is a principle I want to teach in just a few moments. It will help you, I believe, if you'll just remember this wonderful truth. God does not do for us what we can do for ourselves. God does not perform a miracle when we can already perform that which needs to be done. I'm going to show you that in the teaching here. See, we've got people today running around America that wants to see miracles. I want to see fire come down from heaven. What for? What purpose? So that you could be glorified? God doesn't run around performing miracles just for the sake of performing miracles. When God performs a miracle, it always has a purpose for it, and it always will point to Him and give glory to Him, not the miracle worker. Always. Now, I'm simply just saying to you, He does these things to honor Himself, and He does those things, and I'll show you as we go along in this story, I'll show you that He only done that which couldn't be done by man. Elisha came over and he said, where did it fall? Now here's a man of God that's just getting ready to do this great miracle or be instrument used in doing this great miracle. What do you mean, where did it fall? Don't you know where it was fell? Don't you have that spiritual discernment? Didn't God tell you where it fell? No, he said, where did it fall? You know why? The man who dropped it knew where it landed. God didn't have to give him special discernment. He went to the man and he said, where did it fall? Now, I'd like to say something to you. God does not give us knowledge supernaturally when we can obtain it through diligent study. If you want to find a verse in the Bible, it'd be good if you consulted your concordance and worked at it and not wait for God to point it out for you. See, God wants us to study to show ourselves approved. I have many people, and folks, listen, I understand sometimes because you're looking for something quickly. But don't come to your pastor and say, Pastor, where's all this found in the Bible? Why don't you get your concordance and look for it? It'd be good for you to look for it. You'd do some study. You'd learn something. Look it up yourself. Get your concordance out and begin to study and look. Amen? See, up to this point, there's been no miracle happened here. They cut off a stick. He's told to cut off a stick and throw it into the water. You know what? He didn't say, God, cut that stick off for me and drop it in the water. He told a man to go cut the stick off and drop it in the water. Now, what I'm saying to you is there's no miracle as of yet. But here's what happened. That which man could not do, God did. And the axe head came to the top, what we would call floating, or it said it did swim. You know why? Because man couldn't do that. Impossible. And in fact, when he said, he didn't say for to hop up on the shore. He told the man who had lost it, get down there and take it up. Again, he was not doing that for man, what man could do themselves. Now, when God instructs us to build some buildings here for the glory of God, He'll do that which we cannot do. But He's going to expect us to give everything we can give to the building of this building and not wait for the lottery. We don't wait for the lottery anyway. But a lot of folks are going to look around and say, wonder where God's going to get the money from. I'll tell you where He's going to get the money from. That's where He's going to get it from. And then if it was some reason all of us had give everything we could give and what we were supposed to give to this, and there was still something needed, God's able to provide it. Amen. There's work that needs to be done. Sometimes we may not have the ability to do that. I don't know, but I'm saying if so, God will provide it. God will help us. Amen. So don't sit around and look for miracles to happen. God's not in the business of providing miracles just for the sake of doing it to please men. When He went and raised Lazarus from the dead, He told the men to move the stone away from the tomb. He done that which only He needed to do. And that was a miracle, and that was to raise Lazarus from the dead. No man could do that. So I'm just simply saying to you, do we want to expect miracles from God? Certainly we expect miracles from God. We expect God to do a marvelous thing. You know why God is the one that has to save an individual? Because you and I can't. It's God that has to reach down and do the new birth. I can't save anybody. I can tell them how to get saved. I can show them the way of salvation, but God must save them. But it's up to me to tell them. And then God does the work. He's the one that saves. And it's that a way in His work. Let me guarantee you something. If you got an engine knocking out there real bad, it'd be a good idea if you got it to a mechanic and not wait for God to heal it. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make the point? So what I'm saying is, what's God doing? Well, He's going to expect us to do what we can do. And He'll provide for the rest of it. Amen. Sure He will, because He's a miracle-working God. He's a great God. He's wonderful. He'll do anything that needs to be done, but He expects us to do what we need to do. And I want to give you real quickly the gospel in this message. The axe head went its own way. And the Bible teaches us that's what man does. It went its own way, away from God. The axe head fell and plunged to the very bottom of the river. That's where men has went. To the very bottom. Hopelessly lost. The axe head could not help itself. It was laying on the bottom of that riverbed, unable to do anything for itself. And let me say to you, if you're here without Christ, that's where you're at, and you're unable to help yourself. Amen. So the axe head had no power to help itself, but God intervened and caused it to raise to the top. God intervened when Jesus died and raised Him again in newness of life. God intervenes and saves a soul when they're willing to come to Christ and say, I need saved. I can't save myself. I need saved. What was necessary to be done? Well, confess it was lost. If you're unsaved, confess you're lost. It involved a tree. A stick was thrown into the water, representative of the cross. Jesus had to die on the cross of Calvary. It involved a miracle, the resurrection of that axe head and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, borning you into the family of God. And it also involved the reception. Someone reached down and took it. That's what you've got to do if you're here without Christ. God won't force you to get saved. God wants you to know without Him you're lost forever on the way to hell. But He wants you to know also that He's already done everything that's necessary to get saved. Jesus Christ, the wonderful Son of God, died on the cross for your sins, has already paid the cost. You couldn't pay it. I couldn't pay it. He did it. He's raised from the dead, done everything that needs to be done. All He's asking you to do is receive that which He has for you. That's all He's asking. If that man had never reached down there and got that axe head, he'd have never had it again. If you don't reach and take the salvation that God wants for you to have, you'll never have it. But it's there for you. So what I'm saying to you is this: God loves you this morning. If you're here without Christ, God wants to save you, give you everlasting life. And He'll do that. Amen? He'll do that. For us as a church, God wants to do marvelous things for us as a church. He'll do whatever needs to be done, but expects us to do that which He's given us the ability to do. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking You today for Your grace and Your mercy and Your wonderful love for us and Your kindness to us. Father, should there be anyone here this morning that's not saved, oh God, let this be the day. Don't let them go through this service, Father, without receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they'll be prepared for heaven. And Father, I pray this morning for the Holy Spirit of God to have free reign. Lord, that there will not be things that will distract, but oh God, the Holy Spirit of God will be able to use the Word of God in each of our hearts and do that which needs to be done. Save the lost. Father, help us as Christians to be dedicated to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.